He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is November the 2nd, the first Monday in November. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, doing the show from the road today, but I got a lot of good content here for you. If you haven't heard, there's an election tomorrow, then we'll talk a little bit about that and the possible impact on the market. But right now, the markets are up very strong on election eve. You've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 474 points. That's pushing it up against the 27,000 mark. It's at 26,975. Meanwhile, over at the S&P, it's up almost 50 points right now, 49 points. Of course, we were down a lot on Friday, let's not forget, but we're getting some of that back today. S&P currently is at 3,318. NASDAQ is back above 11,000 for now. NASDAQ up 109 points, 1%. So Dow's up 1.8%. NASDAQ's up 1%. Russell 2000 up 1.3% today to 1558. We've got crude oil, which has really, really been soft here recently with the spike in COVID again. Crude oil's at $36.05, up 26 cents today. Gold's up $10.30. I know a lot of gold stocks having a good day. We'll get to some of those in a bit. Gold's at $18.90. Silver is up 30 cents to $23.94. And, you know, interest rates have been drifting higher recently, if you haven't noticed, but still very historically low, 0.84 is where the 10-year is this morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, reporting from the road today. I'm on a brief business trip here, but we've got a lot of content here to report today in what could be, you know, it could be a volatile week in the market. It could be a real smooth week in the market. Nobody really seems to know, and we may not even know by late tomorrow evening, we may not know who the winner of this big contested contest is. Last week was not a good week for the market, the week leading up to the elections. I took protective action, probably 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, something like that, as uncertainty builds towards tomorrow. I think I'm sitting on about a 25 to 30% cash position right now. I do have some hedges in place. And I continue to own the stocks that have held up just fine throughout all of this. But last week was the worst week since March. The correlation that I see between March and last week was the rise once again in COVID infections. And will that lead to shutdowns like it is leading to shutdowns in France? The UK is going on a one-month shutdown. And, of course, Israel just came off of a one-month shutdown. Can the U.S. economy take another one-month shutdown? You know, that's the question. And that's why you saw a very weak market last week. And you got to throw into the mix that there was not a stimulus package prior to the election. Many were hoping for one, but it never came. Both sides promising a mega stimulus package. More debt as soon as the election is out of the way. And, of course, last week we also had all of this uncertainty concerning the election. And if anything, it would seem that the polls have tightened very much here over the last week, and I think anybody predicting one way or the other right now, you know, they're really kind of guessing at this point. Now, today the market seems to think there will be a favorable outcome of some sort, obviously. The market is very happy. Last Friday, one of the big, Twitter just got slammed on Friday as their earnings came up short. That stock was down 21% last week. And, of course, that came on the heels of Thursday's reports from four of the five FANG stocks, which represent 46% of the NASDAQ and $7 trillion in market capitalization. A weak report from Apple last Thursday didn't help the market on Friday. Google bucked the trend. Apple is very weak today. Apple is up about 30 cents is all. Apple has gone down from 138 to 109. And they're kind of betwixt and between with the 5G phone. And demand is also down right now for their phones. Amazon, on the other hand, they had a good earnings report. But, you know, the market didn't treat Amazon very well on Friday either. Amazon today, if I can type AMZN, AMZN today is actually down. $20, $13 per share, 0.4%. And the other stock in the mix on Friday was Google. Google today, Google actually had good earnings report, but of course they're in the crosshairs now of the antitrust department. Google is up 1.6% today. So NASDAQ definitely weaker today than the Dow. Oil continues to slump on the fear of lockdowns. We're on the road today. I'm not seeing a lot of traffic on the roads today. And, of course, I'm sure the I heard that the air travel is down quite a bit this week with a little bit of worry over the elections and, of course, these new lockdowns in Europe. Global markets, last night, Japan up 1.4%. Hong Kong up 1.5%. China, very, very flat. India up 0.4%. And Europe doing pretty well. Paris up 1.6. Frankfurt up 1.7. You wonder why with the lockdowns. Well, they got some good economic recovery, good economic numbers over the weekend. Eurozone manufacturing boomed in October. Was that sonic boom you heard? It was the PMI manufacturing index coming out of the Eurozone. And, of course, you know, we had some really, really, really good economic numbers coming out of the U.S. last week. And wait till you hear how well this earnings season is going. I want to talk about that in the second quarter of the show. I was shocked when I went through the update of earnings from last week and where we are right now overall for this quarter. And of course, we had those blowout GDP numbers last Thursday. So, you know, the economy has made an amazing comeback here. This day on 26, it has made an amazing comeback here over the last several weeks. Okay, we'll take a look here. Boris Johnson in the UK locking down for a month. That's a severe hit to your economy, locking down for a month. In the meantime, you've got Switzerland attempting to keep the economy open as lockdowns hit the rest of Europe. It's cold. It's getting cold out there. I saw some of the campaign stops in Michigan from both sides looking very, very cold. And, of course, that's going to kick in the spike in the coronavirus from a seasonal point of view. It had strong numbers out of China over the weekend. The Kaysen manufacturing PMI rose to 53.6 in October. So we're seeing a lot of economies around the world coming back strongly, a very strong October. But the problem is, on the other hand, we're seeing a strong comeback in the COVID. 30 3.1% was GDP for Q3. Now, what's Q4 going to bring in GDP? 2.2%. 2.2%. That is the estimate right now for the from the Atlanta Fed. New York Fed is estimating 3.2% gain in GDP in this quarter that we are currently in. And lastly, before we go into the break, Twitter has unblocked the New York Post. I put that on my headline last week in my newsletter was, "Who elected you, Jack Dorsey?" I thought that was the quote of the week. Okay, when we come back, I want to review what's going on in this current earnings season. It's phenomenal. Way better than expected. Record numbers, in fact. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio hour on a real big day in the market right now. We'll see what this week brings, but I want to look backwards just a little bit at the third quarter of this year, which it was a blowout quarter, believe it or not. And the evidence of that comes from, number one, the GDP, which came in much stronger than expected. The V-shaped rebound, which I predicted in March and took a lot of heat for, it happened, okay? Now, where it goes from here, we don't really know. But the other bit of evidence here, listen to this. Q3 2020, we now have 64% of the companies in the S&P 500 that have reported actual results. Here's the blowout number. This is a record. 86% of the companies that have reported earnings have beat their earnings estimates. I've never seen a number that high. The average is usually about 70%. 86% is a number I've never seen before of companies beating their earnings estimates. Another 81% have beat their revenue estimates. That's also a record number. When we started this quarter, earnings were expected to be down 20% versus the same quarter last year. Right now, as we sit here, it's expected to come in only 9.8%. We've closed the gap tremendously. This is a huge, huge improvement since the actual earnings season began. When we started this earnings season, the estimates were somewhere for $31 a share in earnings for the S&P 500. Right now, those estimates are clear up to $36 per share. That is a massive, massive improvement. And in addition to that, revenue sales are only expected to be down 2% versus the same quarter last year. The S&P 500 forward P.E. ratio now goes down to 20.6 this week. It got as high as 22 there for a while. We're down to 20.6 right now. That's also an improvement. 126 more S&P 500 companies will report earnings this week. Yeah, you know, most of the big tech stocks are in now, the FANG stocks, but there's still a lot of very, very important earnings reports out there. Now, fourth quarter that we're now in, we're expecting earnings growth of minus 11.2% versus the same fourth quarter last year. And I have a hunch, I mean, unless COVID really shuts down our economy again, I got a hunch we're going to see another blowout quarter and a big beat over the current estimates that are out there right now. Now, as we look into next year, okay, this is really important. The market has already factored in 2020. We've only got, what, 2 months left, less than 2 minutes of shopping days before Christmas. The, the year is almost over as far as earnings go. So the market is looking ahead to 2021 and 2022, believe it or not. 2021, right now, the estimates for next year are $168 per share, $168 per share. The average target price for the S&P 500 right now out there on the street, let's see, where is that? That's about 3,600 or so. That means the market has about 8% upside potential over the next 6 to 12 months, which is good. However, that would be behind door number one. That would be without any changes to the current tax structure. Now, if President, or if Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, were to win, he has already stated that he will raise the corporate tax rate back to where it was before Trump lowered them. I've done the math. I mean, when Trump lowered the taxes, that gave the S&P 500 an additional 20% in earnings. It's just common sense. If you raise those taxes back up, it's going to take 20% off of S&P 500 earnings. At a 21-20 multiple, that would be about 400 points. So your target price for the S&P 500 would go down by about 400 points if Biden were to win. That's scenario door number two. So I have two target prices. I have a target price for keeping taxes where they're at, corporate taxes, and I have a target price for taking the tax rate back up to where it is. So that's very important. As a money manager, I will have to adjust very, very quickly when we have some kind of certainty as to who will be the leader for the next 4 years, because we already know what tax structure we're going to see with Trump, and we know what tax structure we're going to see under Biden. It will also cause quite a bit of change in the sector rotation. You know, right now we're seeing a big sell-off in the oil stocks. I think they're, afraid of a Biden presidency. And at the same time, the solar stocks and the renewable energy stocks are booming right now. And then you get into kind of the industrial stocks. You've got the infrastructure stocks would do very well under a Biden administration. The defense stocks would not do so well under a Biden administration. So as a money manager, there's a lot of moving parts right now, and we just don't have that certainty as we sit here today to know exactly where we go from here until we have some certainty in who will be our leader over the next 4 years. As far as the market signals that I have, I have been on a buy signal in the market since late March. And we're still on that buy signal. It has weakened quite a bit here over the last couple of weeks. If we were to get any kind of uncertainty. Now, here's just a couple of scenarios that the market would not like. Number one, a very close, razor-thin, who won, and it ends up in the courts for weeks. Okay, I was around. Bush versus Gore, Gore versus Bush. That went on for a couple of weeks. The market was not happy with that. The market sold off. The market does not like uncertainty. Okay. Another possible scenario that would be disruptive for the market would be, let's say, a narrow controversial win, maybe, by Trump, and the other side not accepting that win, and coming to clashes and long, drawn-out court cases and whatnot. Or you could have the scenario of a Biden win and a contesting of that win by Trump. None of those would be good for the market. That's why I continue today to have a 25% cash position and some hedges until I have a little bit more certainty going forward. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. A lot of individual companies in the news. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market hanging on to its gains here today after a tough week last week. We've got the NASDAQ right now up 110 points, the S&P 500 up 50 points, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 472 points. Went through a little bit of the macro picture of the market right now. You got to put an asterisk by those earnings estimates for 2021 and 2022. And you've got to paint two different scenarios there. One of keeping the tax rates where they currently are at. Corporate tax rates, 21%. Biden has already said that he'll take them back up to 28%. And you've got to put an asterisk I suppose, on where we go with COVID going forward. The S&P sees global debt to GDP surging to a 2009 crisis level here in 2020. S&P Global Ratings sees global debt as a percentage of GDP swelling to a record 265% this year. Insolvencies and defaults rising to levels not seen since the 2009 crisis. However, they also say that a near-term crisis is unlikely, however, given the expected economic recovery, which we've already seen, and we are seeing. This third quarter of 2020 was a phenomenal quarter. And they're also baking into the cake a COVID-19 vaccine sometime next year. So, you know, that's the track we are on right now. Now, obviously, if we don't get a vaccine and if we continue to see a spike in COVID and we have to shut down the economy again, that would paint a whole different picture. In the meantime, mortgage rates, as low as they've ever been. You know that there was $4 trillion last year in mortgage originations. Well, look at the new housing starts. Look at the existing home sales. Look at the activity. Look at the migration of people out of the cities and into the suburbs. All of this has led to record mortgage originations in 2020. And, of course, you've got the Fed keeping interest rates at historic lows. Now, normally, as we're recovering out of quite a crisis in our economy, you would see the Fed raising rates, but this is not the case right now. They continue to keep rates at zero. Travelers to New York will need a negative COVID-19 test. Okay. I guess they stop you at the border. You've got to have proof of a negative COVID-19 test. You know, New York City, I've been to New York City many times in my career. I've been to Wall Street. I've been to plays on Broadway. I've been to Yankee Stadium. I've been to some of the great restaurants there in New York City. It's just a tragedy. It's terrible what has happened to this great city of New York, Manhattan, Wall Street, all of that. Man, I'm telling you, they have taken it on the chin in many, many ways. And I just don't see a lot of those people that have businesses, restaurants there. I don't see them ever opening back up again. Well, what's on the ballot tomorrow? One of the more interesting states, Oregon, may become the first state to decriminalize hard drugs. That's right. The bill would decriminalize personal possession of less than 1 gram of heroin or methamphetamine, 2 grams of cocaine, 12 grams of psychedelic mushrooms, 40 doses of LSD, oxycodone or methadone, and 1 gram or 5 pills of MDMA. Okay, that's on the ballot tomorrow in Oregon. We've got a big breakthrough in the biotech industry today, peanut allergies. How many people out there? I know it's pretty prevalent among children. Got a stock company, DBVT. They have pretty much a cure, a solution for those that have peanut allergies. The stock is up 63% today. 63%. A non-invasive once daily patch that you wear to treat peanut allergies in children ages 4 to 11. Yeah, let's see if the peanut butter stocks are rising today on that news. Pandemic claims first U.S. retail REIT casualty. You know, I mean, during the pandemic, I saw a lot of articles on Seeking Alpha recommending real estate investment trust and the shopping mall REITs. And I'm thinking, why would I want to own a shopping mall REIT? If it's not bad enough that they've already been hit by a massive demographic move towards online shopping, they were hit by COVID at the same time. Now you've got CBL and Associates has filed for Chapter 11 as the pandemic kept consumers at home and forced many retailers to quit paying rent. Well, you saw JCPenney go down. You see Macy's on the ropes. CBL is a massive company that managed 108 properties in 26 states. They file for bankruptcy. In the meantime, Dunkin' Brands is going to go private at $106 per share, $8.8 billion cash deal being taken private. Clorox beats by 96 cents. Big move there. I guess a lot of people disinfecting their kitchens and their living rooms and restaurants and hotels with all of the disinfectants and whatnot. The Chinese stocks continue to roar. The Chinese electric vehicle stocks, we have some big winners in that space today. Maybe we'll make one of those our featured stock of the day. You've got Li Auto Shares, LI. Let's see how that stock's doing here. These are all Tesla competitors, and they're coming to America. Li, LI, is up 10.1% today. Their sales were up, let's see, where was that? It was some phenomenal number. The company delivered 3,692 LI1s compared to 3,504 in September, up 5.4% month over month. The one that we own, NIO, it is breaking loose today. Its company delivered 5,055 vehicles in October. That's up 100% year over year. Year-to-date deliveries reached 31,000. Now, by comparison, Tesla's going to deliver about 500,000 cars this year. So these companies are nowhere in the neighborhood of Tesla, but they have phenomenal growth rates, 111% year-over-year sales for NIO, NIO, and that stock right now is up 8.3%. That's hitting a new all-time high. We own that in our emerging growth portfolio. And last but not least, Xpeng, X-P-E-V, their sales up 229% year over year. X-P-E-V is up 9% today. So all of your Chinese electric vehicle stocks up anywhere from 8 to 10% so far today, and some of the biggest winners there in the NASDAQ. Well, we continue to have a good day going on here in the market. We're having a very good day. We have a lot of big winners. Our Boyd is up 10.2%. That's another Chinese electric vehicle stock. Those are the strongest movers in the market today. And we're seeing some pretty good movement here today in the gold stocks. And we're also seeing a rebound. You know, last week, a lot of these stay-at-home, work-from-home stocks sold off, especially towards the end of the week as a lot of the momentum names were hit. Today, we're seeing a pretty strong rebound in the so-called stay-at-home, work-from-home WFH. Let's see how that ETF is doing here today. WFH, work from home. It's up 1.1% today. But obviously tomorrow, a big day. We'll see how the market reacts. I got to believe the market's going to be pretty quiet tomorrow. And we'll see what we wake up to on Wednesday in the markets. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be back with our featured stock of the day. Final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on what has been so far a good day in the market. As the market, I don't think the market quite knows what to anticipate here tomorrow. Well, we're seeing some pretty good action in some of the precious metal stocks. I think I'll choose to feature a stock that we own in that space. We own it in our Ultra Growth portfolio. It's a 9.7 billion dollar market cap company. Does it pay a dividend? It pays a little dividend, little tiny. You'll get a little check. I don't think they pay in gold. They probably pay in paper dollars. But the name of the company is Anglo Gold. Symbol is AU. They are a South African gold producer with 14 operations in 9 countries. Located in South Africa and continental Africa for the most part. But what I like, I'm not a big fan of gold or gold stocks, but I do think at a time like this, I think having a little bit of the gold stocks, and they were showing up in my Best Stocks Now app, ranked very highly about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, something like that. And I did take just a very few positions kind of as a hedge against the volatility that we've seen here. And, you know, I mean, you see all the debt that we've racked up as a country. You got to believe at some point down the road that gold's going to be a good performer. Well, I chose to buy a gold stock that fit not only my value proposition, my valuations, but it also fit my momentum at the time. It was a very strong stock. Now, it's weakened since I bought it, but I'm going to hang in there because the valuation I find to be quite compelling. And it's having a pretty good day here today. It's up 6.4% after they reported earnings that were better than expected. AU has been a very strong performer from a momentum point of view. In fact, over the last 5 years, just holding that stock has delivered a total return to investors of 30% per year, with no guarantees going forward, obviously. But the market during the same period of time has delivered about 10% per year. So you've had tremendous alpha coming from AU, Anglo Gold, over the last 5 years. Over the last 3 years, AU has delivered an average annual return of 52% per year. That's phenomenal, while the market has delivered just 8.2%. So you've got almost 6 times the returns on Anglo Gold over the market over the last 3 years for that whole period. That's also some tremendous alpha. And in fact, when I rank AU against all the other stocks in my database, it gets a performance grade of A, a performance grade of A. Now, performance is one half of my equation. The other half of my equation is valuation. And I like to look out down the road. I go out 3 to 5 years. AU is expected to continue to grow their earnings by 28% per year over the next 5 years. Okay, I like growth. I don't want to own a stock company that's growing their earnings by 2 or 3% per year. 2 or 3% per year. I want a company that's growing their earnings at least double digits. Well, AU fits that quite nicely. I mean, the analysts that cover the company expect their earnings to grow by 28% per year over the next 5 years. When I extrapolate those earnings out 5 years from now, and when I apply a multiple that I think is reasonable, I get a target price on AU of $46 per share. $46 per share. The stock today is trading at $24 per share. So not only does it meet my performance, momentum, alpha criteria, but it also meets my valuation criteria by quite a wide margin. I also like the fact that it's trading at a forward PE right now of just 7. Actually, 6.8 is the forward PE of AU. The market right now is trading at almost 21 times forward earnings. So AU is trading at a steep discount to the market as far as forward earnings go. And it's trading at a very steep discount to its growth rate. In fact, the PEG ratio here is 0.24. So I continue to own a small position, about 4% overall in my ultra growth portfolio, which is having another phenomenal year this year. If you'd like to see what's in it, if you'd like to see the results, if you'd like to see what we currently own, that's one of our more aggressive portfolios. It's aimed strictly at growth, and you know, some of the mid, small cap, younger growth companies. We also have our premier growth portfolio, which is more of the large cap, premier growth, best growth stocks, large cap growth that I can find in the world today. You can sample our newsletter by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. But what we do, our main job here is managing money for hardworking folks all across America. And if you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, you can set up a telephonic appointment by calling 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And, of course, I have a financial planner on staff, a certified financial planner in Barrie. So we have a lot to offer. And we also, from time to time, play a little bit of defense. And right now is one of those times until I have just a little bit more clarity into the future as it relates to S&P 500 earnings. S&P 500 earnings. There's where there's quite a lack of clarity right now. There's two major scenarios. There's door A and there's door B. And I have to adjust as a money manager, depending upon the outcome that we see. Hopefully this week. We don't know. Hopefully we get a resolution to it all and some clarity this week. If we don't, we could see some more volatility ahead in the market. So stay tuned. It could get interesting. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.